This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees at 7:35. Logan County schools have undergone two audits this year by the State Department of Education. And while April's report says the county is slightly improving in some areas, it shows there is still much work to be done. As Ashton Mara reports, State Board of Education members received the report last week and have put the county on warning they're in jeopardy of a state takeover.
The State Office of Education Performance Audits, known as OEPA for short, conducted its first audit in January, gave the county a list of immediate actions to be taken, and returned in April to find many of those issues had still not been properly addressed. The biggest issues include mishandlings of personnel matters, finances, and failures in curriculum. The county's lack of improvement between audits didn't go over well with State Board of Education President Gail Manchin.
It does not appear that Logan County takes recommendations very seriously.
The newest audit shows when it comes to student achievement, the county is lagging behind state averages. Countywide, only 2 of 17 schools had more than half of their students testing as proficient in math. In 5 of 17 schools, only half of their students were proficient in reading and language arts. Graduation rates in the county have decreased by 3% over the past 3 years as statewide rates have continued to grow. And of the 60% that go on to a college or university, more than a third are enrolled in developmental English classes, while nearly half are enrolled in developmental math. The OEPA report determines the county, quote, failed to demonstrate the capacity to improve student achievement, end quote. Dr. Gus Penix, director of the OEPA, says personnel matters were the most concerning to him. He says the county is simply not following state code and Department of Education policies when it comes to hiring. Part of the problem, he says, is a disorganized hiring system within the central office. But a major portion of the issues are based on the fact that their newly hired personnel director has no experience and has had almost no formal training in hiring procedures. Assistant Superintendent Robert Lucas was transferred to the position from a job as a principal at Logan High School.
When we were there in January, the personnel director did not have a law book. He still didn't have one. We were there in April. And it's essential that person have a law book to reference regarding making decisions about personnel matters.
The audit says the county is not following proper hiring guidelines that were newly implemented to allow principals and faculty senates to interview and recommend teachers to fill open positions within their school. Lucas's office did not return a phone message Friday, but the report says he did not think those procedures needed to be followed when only one person was applying for the position. But it was the county's finances that were the biggest concern for some state board members. The audit shows Logan County schools are not following proper state purchasing procedures, sometimes skipping the bidding process altogether. Board member William White called the financial practices of the county horrendous.
We have a document that is page after page after page out of things that were financially, it appears to be misappropriated or disappeared or other folks were doing it. I mean, that I'm talking about the big picture. I'm not talking about the individual things. And so I think we need to stop, and your leadership, including your board and your staff, needs to sit down and look at it from a broader perspective and say, hey, you know, this is what we need to start looking at financially. What kind of systems do we need to put in place? Because those are the only things that are going to stop these kind of things.
Board member Wade Linger says the problems come down to an overall lack of leadership in the county. County Superintendent Phyllis Doty says many of the issues have been there for years, and being new to the position, she's inherited them to clean up. Current Logan County Board President and 16-year member Phyllis Adkins disagrees with the audit altogether.
Some of these findings, and I hate to say it, I feel like are incorrect.
The audit calls the Logan County Board of Education, quote, dysfunctional, and says board meetings are, quote, unproductive and inconsistent with following state code and WVBOE policies. Adkins says they've always followed open meetings laws when it comes to their executive sessions, discussing only facilities, personnel, and student discipline issues. But in the audit, Three board members confirm a member of the board directed the superintendent to call an applicant during an executive session and offer him or her a position with the county. State board member Lloyd Jackson warned Adkins it's her responsibility as an elected official to make sure the recommendations of the OEPA are implemented.
In the end, it's your responsibility. And if your managers can't get the job done, you better get some managers who can, because we're going to hold you responsible when the time comes. My advice to you is the board needs to take charge of this thing, not your administrators. The board needs to take charge of this thing and be sure these things get fixed.
The state board voted Wednesday to give Logan County Schools until January 15th of 2015 to correct all of the issues in the OEPA audit. If most issues aren't resolved and progress isn't shown, board members will vote to intervene in the county, meaning the state could take over Logan County Schools for the second time. Logan County was the first school system to be put under state control. The board ran the county from 1992 until 1996. There are currently five other counties under state control: Mingo, Preston, Grant, Fayette, and Gilmer. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection says materials from a pit holding waste from the oil and gas industry, including fracking waste, is being taken to the Raleigh County landfill. The DEP says work is underway to reclaim above-ground waste pits. Although the above-ground pits are being closed and the permit for an underground injection well on the site was revoked, the operator can still accept waste. Jessica Lilly explains.
In February, the same DEP order that issued the above-ground waste pit closed renewed the UIC, or underground injection well, permit. That didn't bode well with the Natural Resource Defense Council, the West Virginia Surface Owners' Rights Organization, the Plateau Action Network, or resident Brad Keenan. Tom Rist is representing the groups to appeal the order.
And we already had the issue with the open pits that were there, and they're supposed to clean those up as a part of this new permit being issued. Well, they weren't supposed to be there in the first place. And so how do you issue a permit based on the promise that you're going to clean up this other stuff you weren't supposed to do? Our challenge to this is that it should be shut down so it's not a risk to the water supply here anymore.
Rist filed the first letter of appeal on March 3rd. The DEP revoked the UIC permit March 4th. The underground permit first expired in October 2012. During the renewal process, the operator still collected waste.
This permit expires October 25th, 2012. How are they still injecting into it and putting waste into it during that time period? And we challenge that and take issue with it because we believe it does violate state law. And so that's something that the Environmental Quality Board is going to have to determine, is whether or not that did violate state law.
The March revocation required resubmittal for permit coverage, which may result in a new draft permit followed by a public notice and comment period. It's not clear if the operator has resubmitted a permit application. Based on email responses from the DEP, it appears that the state agency has revised the UIC application, but Danny Webb Construction still needed to resubmit a new application to comply. The DEP says once they receive that revised application, a draft permit will go out for public notice. I'm still waiting to see a copy of the new application. But back to the above-ground pits that were ordered closed. The pits were used to remove sediments from the oil and gas waste before injecting underground. The DEP ordered the pit closed after the operator failed to resubmit a plan to bring it up to code. Although the DEP did not find the pit to be leaking, officials say it did need to be upgraded. James Martin, chief of the DEP's Office of Oil and Gas, says work to reclaim or close the above-ground waste pits began earlier this month, 3 months after the order. Martin says sediment control has been installed while the work is being conducted. Workers are removing pit liners, fluid, and sludge material. So where will they put this waste? Martin says the fluid is mainly from precipitation and already been pumped into tanks at the location. Martin says the fluid will eventually be injected into one of the underground UIC wells, which of course don't currently have an approved permit in place. What about the sludge? Martin says it's still being removed and will eventually end up at the Raleigh County landfill. As the efforts to reclaim the pits continue, residents are concerned about the potential for leaks. One resident even sent a picture of what they say is from the site. The picture shows what appears to be some sort of liquid shooting from the ground. We sent the pic to the DEP to see what liquid was being released, but we're still waiting on that reply. As for the underground injection well, currently there's no time limit on how long the company has to resubmit the application. And in the meantime, residents like Brad Keenan fear that efforts to save Wolf Creek from contamination could be too late. A pre-hearing conference to discuss the process of permitting this UIC is scheduled for May 29th. A hearing before the Quality Control Board is set for June 12th at the Charleston DEP office. Danny Webb Construction did not return our request for comment. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Fayette County.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:46. A freeze warning in effect for the eastern highlands until 9 o'clock this morning. A frost advisory for the entire state until 9 o'clock this morning. Mostly sunny skies today with temperatures in the 60s and 70s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Thrasher, providing comprehensive civil engineering, consulting, surveying, and architecture services to private and public clientele. Details at ThrasherENG.com.
A recent poll from Gallup found that 28% of West Virginians surveyed say they don't want to leave the state to move elsewhere. With that in mind, we've been taking a look at the reasons why people stay here in West Virginia with a special digital project on our Instagram. We've asked you to take a photo and use the hashtag #WhyIStay. Joining us this morning to talk about the project, our digital editor, Dave Mistich. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Beth.
So tell us a little bit about the project and how it came about.
Well, just a couple weeks ago, we aired a series of stories for Beneduccio on the state's expected population decline and what we can do to solve that problem. Just as that was finishing up, the Gallup poll, which wasn't just about West Virginia, it was about the entire country, and every state was accounted for in that poll. That you'd mentioned was released in other public radio stations from around the country. They caught wind of that and wanted to examine the population flow within their own area. So after being looped in with them, Katie Herzog, who's the social media coordinator at WFAE in Charlotte, led the charge and decided on Instagram as the channel through which we'd take a look at this issue. There's about a dozen stations from all over the country participating, from New York City to Miami, from Michigan Radio to Boise State Public Radio, Pittsburgh, even a station in Alaska.
What have some of those responses been like? What are we seeing in the photos?
Well, we've gotten a lot of photos and captions that seem to be what you'd expect out of a question like, what makes you stay in West Virginia? A lot of the photos have showcased the state's natural beauty, have had emphasis on family and work and recreation. But the surprising thing I've noticed is the will of some people to truly want to stay here. We've received one photo from a woman who said she'd traveled the entire world to study applied atomic physics, and she said she wanted to bring her skills back to where it all began, right here in West Virginia. And a lot of what I'm seeing shows off the state and its dedication of her people. It's inspiring, absolutely, no doubt.
And I heard from you this weekend that the project has even inspired a T-shirt design. That's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely, yeah, it really is. A company out of Morgantown by the name of Sustain U, they caught wind of what we were doing and designed a T-shirt with a word. It's essentially a word cloud that forms the outline of the state. There's a lot of references to some of the things people were captioning in their photos that we've seen. Our contact at NPR Digital Services and Katie Herzog at WFAE pointed it out to me. And I think it just goes to show how dedicated people are to the state and proves that a project like this can have tangible impact on the real world.
So very quickly, Dave, tell us how to participate and how we're going to wrap things up at the end of this week when the project comes to a close.
Sure. It's awfully simple to participate. If you have a smartphone and have the Instagram app, just snap a photo and use the hashtag #WhyIStay. And that you'll do that whenever you upload the photo. If for whatever reason you don't use that app, you can just send us a photo on Twitter using the exact same hashtag. Just don't forget to somehow let us know where you're from so we can distinguish you from all the other cities and states and stations that are also participating. To wrap things up, there's already a Tumblr blog with submissions from all over the country. It's hashtag #whyistay.tumblr.com. We're also working on an interactive map so you can see photos from across the country.
All right, Dave, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Beth.
You can find out more about why I Stay Instagram project on our website, wvpublic.org. Also, be sure to follow us on that platform, the same as our handle on Twitter, at wvpublicnews. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.